in your progress. Just like you do when you have a child growing up in your home and they begin to walk. It's like at first they're crawling. Look at them, they're sitting up. Oh, they rolled over. You know what? God would like some of us to roll over. Just do something. Some of us need to roll over in our faith. Some of us need to get up on our knees and start rocking back and forth and saying, okay, these legs work. And then some of us need to start grabbing a hold of the coffee table and pulling ourselves up. And God rejoices in every stage because these are signs of health and signs of life. You begin to put your foot on the grace of God, and guess what? It never bends. It's always, always good. Good ground. Good ground. Gettysburg, the movie, was a great movie for Gettysburg, laying that whole thing out. This one old crusty soldier said, this is good ground. This is good ground. I love that. I just can't get it out of my mind. Because when I think about grace, I think, this is good ground. Guys, we are in good ground. And you need to just own that. Because none of us is getting out alive. I came up with some statistic. I read it this past week. In 1910, 100 years ago, the average lifespan for men and women were around 46 years of age. That means that for many of you young people, your parents would be gone now. You'd be in it right now. You'd be all alone. You'd be doing life. It'd be just you. Okay, mom, dad's not there. You're in it. It's all you. It also means that for some of us who are sitting here over that age, we'd be gone. Now, guys, listen. We are going to be gone. We've moved the line out there, and we think we're going to make it, you know, till 90 or 100. But the reality is, for most of us, many of us won't make it out of our 50s. And we need to be preparing for the other side. You need some good ground. I was reading a good book this past week about golden nuggets of the Old Testament, or of the Greek New Testament. And it was talking about the whole concept of where Jesus said, "He that believes, lives and believes in me shall never die." And the whole idea in that passage was that God was saying, Jesus was saying in no uncertain terms, you won't even have to touch it at all. You will not see death. You won't see it. Like Brother Daniel's granddaddy said, wow, you know. And he just went on home. And the one guy we talked about, Rabbi Zacharias, his granddaddy dying or his father-in-law dying and saying, amazing. D.L. Moody getting up and saying, if this be death, it is glorious. Guys, we got it in the bag. We have God on our team. And if God be for us, no condemnation. If God be for us, who can be against us? This is awesome truth. This is what we live for. This is what? What we live upon. And if you live upon it, then you're walking in the Spirit. Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit. And I would suggest that this is either a capital S or a little s. If it's a little s, we could say it's the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's like a spirit, like we all get to a pep rally. Woo! But I don't think it's that. I think it's a restatement. I think he's saying, for the law of the Spirit, comma, the law, in other words, even the law of life in Christ Jesus. He was saying a moment ago, he says, he set me free from the law of sin and death. Chapter 7, verse 25. I thank God through Christ Jesus. He says, I will with my flesh serve the law of sin. Here he says, but I am set free from the law of sin and death. I'm set free from the law of sin. What is the law of sin? The law of sin is that when I would do good, evil is present with me, and it keeps messing me up and tripping me up. So in verse 2, he says, the law of the Spirit, which is the law of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin. And what does the Spirit do? Now this is where you got to get to know your constant companion. This is what Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 26, he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's what he does. He shall testify of me. What does the Holy Spirit do? He testifies of Jesus. So the law of the Spirit is that he's testifying of Jesus. What is he constantly driving home for you? He's driving home for you, Jesus paid it all. He's driving home for you that Jesus is the one who absolutely translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. He drives home for us that he who has the Son has life. Now, I could say that's on blue in the face. You can say, well, that's one idea, that's one option. But what the Holy Spirit does is he brings that back to your remembrance constantly. He constantly reminds you of the truth that you're in God And His Holy Spirit constantly is pointing to Jesus. Another place, that's John 15:26. John 16:13 says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." This is His ministry in your life. He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me. It's all about Jesus. The law of the Spirit, the law of life in Christ Jesus, is that which will set you free from the law of sin. When you find that battle warring in your members, you can begin to say, "I'm foreclosing on this. I'm laying this down. It's not me or mine anymore. It's all about Him." The problem we have is we constantly want to resurrect our old man. And the Bible says, you know what? If they had had a mind to return to that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to do it. If you keep looking back over the fence, "Oh, my girlfriend when I was in high school. Oh, my boyfriend, if I'd have just married the right guy." If you keep looking back, that boyfriend, that girlfriend just might show up on your radar again through Facebook or through something at the store. And you've been looking over the fence, and guess what? The devil will see to it you got an opportunity. All he can do after we've been saved is shipwreck us. Can't get us back. The Bible says in this passage that it set me free from the law of sin and death. And that's why I thank God in verse 25 of chapter 7. He says, "For what the law could not do and that it was weak, God did." That's the essence of it. God did. How did He do it? He sent His Son. What's the Spirit testifying? He sent His Son in the likeness of human flesh. He looked just like you and me. He could be touched and handled. John said, "That which we have seen, that which we've looked upon, that which we've handled with our own hands." He says, "We've looked, we've seen, we've touched, we've hugged Him when we saw Him." It was Jesus. He was likeness of sinful flesh. And the Bible says, for sin. He was in the likeness of sin, full flesh, and He was sent for sin in verse 3. And it says, God therewith condemned sin in the flesh. That means that when you look at Jesus, and this is the vast, vast disservice that is done by crucifixes. I told one guy once, he was a Christian who didn't know better, he had a crucifix. I said, "You need to get you an updated model. He's not there anymore." He's not on the cross anymore. That cross represents victory, not death. But you know, if you were really going to have a crucifix, it didn't look anything pretty like a nice golden cross. It was a horrible sight to behold, nothing but blood and ripped and torn flesh and sorrow mingled down with blood and tears. I mean, a crown of thorns shoved deeply into the core of His crevice of His crown. There He was, bleeding, dying, suffering, and did e'er such love and sorrow meet, we sing, because it was a hideous sin. And if you see driving down a big fly hit your windshield, God said, "That's what I think about your flesh. That's what I think about your flesh." You say, "But I like my flesh. I like my flesh. I love my flesh. You didn't like my flesh? I got good flesh. I get ointment for my flesh." Guess what else we do? We feed our flesh. He says, God gave His judgment on your flesh. When He nailed Christ to the cross, He said, "That's what I think, and that's what has to be thought by you about your flesh. Your flesh is a hideous enemy that needs to be what? Mortified, we're going to find out." He says, what the flesh couldn't do, God did. Verse 4, He says, in order that, underline the word "that," because this is why God did it. This is why God sent Jesus. In order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Literally, the word "fulfilled" is crammed full in us. In other words, the idea, and it says, who walk again, the idea of progress is in view. In other words, when you tried to live by the law in the past, if you were a religious person, like a Jew, or a moral man who thought, "I got, you know, churchianity going on," you would try to live, you know, consistently, and that nagging thing called the law would keep telling you, "You know what, you lusted, you know what, you coveted, you know what, you were bitter, you know what, you were angry, you know what, you dishonored mom and dad, you know what, you know what." And you just say, that's like a... I used to run back in the day when I had strong knees and legs. I'd run in this old, this hot area in Pennsylvania. And there were these flies that were brutally aggressive. You'd be running. I actually had to take a towel so I could... You've seen these, haven't you? Somebody's flying. You'd have to slap those babies because they would get on. They'd bite, biting flies. And that's what the law is like. to the flesh. And so the law made the flesh do what? Exchange the truth of God for a lie. It made us change the likeness of the incorruptible God, chapter 1, into the likeness of four-footed beast or man or whatever you want to call it. He's a man upstairs. He's just a nice guy. No, no, no. Don't give up the truth. The law is spiritual. I am carnal. You're supposed to be brought to that truth. We just read that a moment ago. He says in verse 4, he says that the righteousness of the law might be crammed full in us. In other words, we begin to walk with God in congruence with God, in agreement with God by upholding the law and the commandments. And when we stumble and when we want to do good, evil is present with, but we get crammed full with the law because we keep going back and say, it's not me, it's Jesus. It's not me, it's Jesus. That should be one step after all. Another. It's not me, it's Jesus. And you know what? You can consistently walk in fellowship with God when you walk what? Upon the Spirit. But I'd rather walk upon this flesh. That's so comfortable and natural for us. Yeah, natural. The natural man what? Receives not the things of the Spirit. He says, you want to be free. You want to have freedom in your experience. You need to live upon the Spirit. You need to walk upon the Spirit. How do you know? You know it. You know you're doing it. When those four things we talked about, you make the proper declaration. You have the right desire. Yeah, it's hard, but you got the right desire. Thirdly, what did he say? He said, I also delight in it. You see, those are things that show you that you're really real. Your legs will be weak at first, but you begin to step on the Spirit. And you begin to walk by the Spirit. Verse 4 is where he says, who walk not after the flesh, but after, again, kata, down upon the Spirit. You walk upon the Spirit. You walk on Spirit ground. The second thing he says is in verses 5 down through verse 10, I believe it is, or 9. And that's where he tells us not only are we free, but we are also focused or founded. Key words here are to be, being, and minded. Look at verse 5. And you might underline these words, verse 3 or verse 2, the word for is a reason why we have no condemnation. Verse 5 has the word for as well. That is also a reason for no condemnation. For they that are after the flesh or live upon the flesh or live after the flesh or according to the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Okay, now that they that are, in verse 5 where it says they that are after, okay, they that are after. That's one Greek word, being, okay. Those being, and the word those isn't even there, for being after the flesh, live according to the flesh. All right, that's the concept. And he says in verse 5 further, but being after the Spirit, they seek the things of the Spirit. Now, what are the things of the Spirit? Well, the Bible says that the Word of God is what? God breathed, right? The Bible says my words are spirit and life, right? We are to be filled with the Spirit, right? Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another, and so forth. But it says in Colossians, the companion book, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So the more the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you by His Word, the more He can have kind of a leeway in your life. In other words, the more you know of the Word of God, the more you know of the Word, the more you'll know of the Spirit in you. If you don't give Him something to work with, He's just working through circumstances, and that's pretty, you know, kind of subjective, isn't it? But when you have God's Word in your heart, He can remind you of His Word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your Word. How do I know what God wants? I've listened to what He said. Well, I don't want to read my Bible. Okay. Have you ever gone on a job where you were going somewhere, you knew, let's say your wife's car broke down, and you drove over to help her out? You had no tools in the car. You had nothing to work with. And there you were. All you can do is get her, and you know, just get her in the car and take her home. Go call somebody. And yeah, we got money, we can do that. We don't realize the tragedy of it. But if you would have just had a jumper cable, you could have got her started, got her home, and not had to pay somebody $70-$80. Now listen, you're going to pay somebody something if you don't read the book. You don't pay the piper, right? You're going to arrive in some tragedy, in some trial, and you're going to have no resources, and the Holy Spirit's going to have nothing to say. He's going to be muted because you've never put His Word in your heart. You've never done that. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Guys, this is not negotiable. If you want to walk according to the Spirit, if you want to have victory, you've got to have the Word of God in your heart.